check out the Jeff Dawkins Show. Joined now by Steve White, as I am every single Thursday. Pride of Westwood High School went on to play for the University of Tennessee Vols, the New York Jets, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Now he joins us every single week to talk about the NFL on Twitter at SGW94. Before, Steve, we get to this week's matchups, couple things real quick. What did you think about the firing in Miami? Kind of a shocker there.
Yeah, I just think it's a clown show. I mean, you fire a guy who's had the first back-to-back winning seasons in decades, literally decades. And the best you can come up with as you try to leak your way into making people get on your side is he told the quarterback he has to effing play better. I mean, you can't do any better than that. That's the best thing you can come up with, you know, trying to get people to understand why you fire a guy who turned a team that was 1-7 into a team that was 9-8. And I look, you know, I don't think players quit on teams usually because, you know, your film is your resume and you have to play hard and all that. But I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't many teams that's going to go from 1-7 to 9-8. Especially with all the other things going on, COVID and all the other distractions. And now, mind you, you're the people who kept putting out that you were interested in Deshaun Watson, who was, you know, accused by like 20-something masseuses of sexually assaulting him. And so he had to deal with that all season, still finds a way to be 9-8, and you fire the guy. It's a clown show. But it just goes to show you, a lot of these owners have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, that was mind-boggling. On the other hand, another team that did not quit was the Las Vegas Raiders, which is, I'm getting texts from John Martin saying, ask Steve about all the adversity we have overcame. It's not even, it's not even adversity. It's like murder, and it's unbelievable. Like, it is true. Wouldn't you have had a hard time keeping your focus in a season like this if you had been a Raider?
I mean, you're already in Las Vegas, so that's distraction right. Number one.
Right.
Your coach, you know, gets fired for saying some very racially racist things, you know, over email. And, you know, you have your first-round wide receiver kill somebody with a DUI, and the list keeps going on. They just had a defensive back get arrested with DUI not too long ago. And so it's been a ongoing thing for the Raiders this year, and some kind of way, they end up winning the game. Well, not some kind of way. I'm not really sure what the Chargers coach was thinking about last week, calling the timeout. Maybe there's some good explanation for that. But Brandon Staley, I'm not really sure what to do. But
do you think
it benefited the Raiders?
Do you think they were going to play out the string and just go for the tie? Do you believe they would?
I think so. I really believe it. I mean, most of the people, the quotes I've seen from the players was, you know, yeah, that pretty much is what they were going to do. And why not? I mean, quite honestly, y'all fought a hard-fought game. You're in overtime. Look, man, let both teams go to the playoffs. I definitely think the Chargers are a better team than the Steelers. And now, you know, losing that game puts the Steelers in the playoffs. So, look, it's not like they played for a tie the whole game. But at that point, why not just be like, look, man, we're going to be in regardless. Might as well let them in, too. But, however that went, that timeout was just mind-boggling to me. And I think Brandon Staley is going to want that one back eventually.
I'm going to offer you, Steve, every head coaching job that is available right now. They've all been offered to you, Steve White. Which one are you taking?
Let's see. Maybe Chicago.
You believe in the quarterback? And you believe in McCaskey and that group?
I don't like the ownership group. But at this point, there ain't many owners that you look at and say, yeah, this seems like a great guy to coach for who has a job opening right now. So I think you can deal with it. I think that Justin Fields is going to be an ascending talent. I think they have some talent around him already. The defense is pretty good. So I think you're set up in a position where, you know, the number one thing now for any head coaching job, to me, is having the quarterback in place or being able to, you know, being in position with the number one and number two pick to get the top quarterback in the next draft, because it'll become obvious. You just can't win with a mediocre quarterback in the NFL. You might win some games, but you're not going to go in the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. And just look at the last few teams who have won it. Obviously, Tom Brady has had a lot on winning a bunch of these Super Bowls, but the teams that have beaten them or you know, the Patriots knocked off before that, all had really good quarterbacks. And I think Justin Fields has a chance to be there.
All right, well, you wouldn't take Jacksonville. How about Jacksonville? I think maybe that's the best one. And I understand the ownership's terrible there, whatever else. My view actually is as long as the ownership will get out of the way ultimately, like maybe there's a problem in Washington, the Washington football team ownership. But if in the ownership's willing to get out of the way, then there are lots of bad franchises that become good franchises once they get a quarterback. New Orleans did. New England did. Heck, Tampa Bay was awful for years, right? I mean, that was an awful franchise before it became a good franchise. Same owners, right? So, to me, isn't the best quarterback out there by we looked at his draft status. Isn't it Trevor Lawrence, and therefore isn't that the job you want?
I think it is Trevor Lawrence. Well, it might be Trevor Lawrence. I've seen some really good flashes and some really bad flashes from Trevor Lawrence this year. And the question will be whether he can get over the bad habits he kind of developed over the course of this year, particularly throwing the ball to the other team, which is not something that we really saw from him when he was in college. So maybe it was just the coaching or what have you. But you look at Jacksonville, and, you know, they got the quarterback, but I don't really like their offensive line all that much. Who are their receivers? You know,
They got nothing.
Right. It was a bunch. So there's more that you're going to have to do to win there, and you have to trust that ownership will be willing to spend the money to go out and get the players that you need to put around Trevor Lawrence to help him win. I don't think that's necessarily the case in Chicago. I'm not saying that they have, like, a whole bunch of, you know, top guys either, but I just think that it's established. Chicago will spend money. You can say a lot of things about the ownership, but they'll spend money in free agency and stuff of that nature. That's never really been a problem. So if I had a vision for what a team, you know, the team I want to feel, I think I'll have an easier time doing it in Chicago than I would in Jacksonville.
Well, the other advantage of Chicago is you got to figure Aaron Rodgers, even if he stems back, he's not going to be there forever. He's old. And the Vikings are a mess. And the Lions are a mess. So it's not a murderous
division. Right. Division-wise, yeah, it definitely makes sense. And I'm not saying that, you know, the AFC South is exactly any world beaters either. But, yeah, I think that there's a chance there to hop up pretty quick in the division, especially if Aaron Rodgers ends up, you know, on another team next year.
I'm going to ask you about matchups. But before I do, Titans – don't play this week, obviously. How many teams would you pick ahead of the Titans from the AFC to go to the Super Bowl? How many teams are more likely than the Titans to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC? Just the Chiefs?
It's so hard to say. Just because, you know, the one question mark we have out there is if the running back's going to come back, you know, and how he's going to look if he comes back. Because it's a different team with him on the field than with the not. Even with, you know, Deontay Foreman has performed pretty well at the end of the season. Now you have a tandem if they're both going. But, you know, without him, it's just hard to say what they are. But, you know, obviously the Chiefs are a team that everybody's going to be worried about. Because at any point, they can put up 30, 40 points in a game. And it won't take a lot. And the offense has been doing better lately. And the defense is not holding their own weight. So I think everybody is afraid of playing the Chiefs, to be quite honest. And so that's the team I don't really think the Titans want to see before they get to the Super Bowl.
All right, let's go through the games. We'll go through them in chronological order in which they unfold here during this, what do they call it? Wild, what was Super Wild?
Super Wild Card Weekend.
Super Wild Card Weekend. Start with Las Vegas at Cincinnati. Your thoughts?
You know, normally I would pick the Bengals hands down, especially with the way Ricky wide receiver has been playing lately. But the Raiders, I mean, it's such a wacky season for them. You never know. You know, there's everything stacked against them. You know, you're coming from west to east, which is never easy. But I wouldn't put it past the Raiders to upset the Bengals this week.
Here's one close to my own heart. The New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills.
Well, you got the home game, right?
Yeah.
We talked about just a couple weeks ago when they were playing each other, and I said, you know, it was going to be a pretty big game for the Bills for a lot of reasons, and they played that way. They played a little bit – like they had a little bit more to play for than the Patriots, and I think the Patriots are going to end up regretting it. So I think the Bills are going to win at home.
Mind you, the Bills beat them at Foxborough and lost at home, but it was in a, you know, in a hurricane at home when they lost.
Yeah.
So I hope they wait them. Then Buffalo will have to go to Kansas City, and I can accept losing to Kansas City. I don't want to lose.
You can't lose at home to the Eagle Empire.
Right. It's funny when you talk about quarterbacks, by the way. And you need a quarterback in to get to succeed in the NFL. I guess your worst quarterbacks right now that made it. I mean, you look, it's like Derek Carr makes it. Joe Burrow makes it. Josh Allen makes it. Tom Brady makes it. Dak Prescott makes it. Patrick Mahomes makes it. The Arizona Rams both have quarterbacks. And so the worst quarterbacks, I guess, are in Pittsburgh just because he's old. And then New England because he's young. And Philadelphia, right? Aren't those the three worst quarterbacks that made it this year?
Oh, yeah. But with Ben, it's not just because he's old. It's because he can't throw the ball down the field.
Right.
And
those
they
are related.
Right. I mean, you know, it's related unless you're Tom Brady. I can't.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah. And you know, the thing that the Patriots have been able to do all season is kind of, you know, hide their quarterback, the rookie quarterback, run the football a lot, and not put a lot on his shoulders. And the way, if you're a team to combat that is, you score early and often. If the Patriots get down, then they have to kind of let Mac Jones wing it a little bit. And that's when we'll see just how much he's grown up over the course of this season. Because, look, that Buffalo Bills defense, I've been talking about them for a couple of years now. They are outstanding, in my opinion, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on him if he has to throw the football.
Philadelphia at Tampa Bay.
Now, you know, styles make fights, right? And the Buccaneers the last few years have basically dared people to run the football on them because they've been so good against the run. But the Philadelphia Eagles, once they actually started committing to running the football, have played a lot better. Again, taking pressure off of their quarterback. And so the last game, they actually rushed 400 yards against the Bucs. And the running back only ran 9 times. So I would expect them to run the football a lot more, try to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. And what will be interesting is Lavonte David, who's been out for a few weeks on IR, is coming back this week. And that should be a big boost to their defense. But it's going to be, you know, a clash of the Titans up front. If they can stop their running game, they'll shut the Eagles down. But it's going to be a really tough job for them to do it this week. We'll see if the defense steps up.
49ers at the Cowboys.
You know, this is one of those old school matchups, right? For guys, you know, my age and older, when you remember those 49ers and Cowboys battles in the playoffs.
Ain't that the truth?
I don't think this game will have that kind of a feel to it necessarily. You know, it's nostalgia around it, but I don't think that'll matter when they get on the field. I think the thing is, the 49ers are best when they run the football a lot. Even when it's with Deebo Samuel, that wide receiver. But that Cowboys defense is so good. They're playing at home. My only doubts about this game is if Dak will play the way he's capable of playing. You know, he's been a little inconsistent. He played really well the last week of the season. And so if he can carry that over to this game, it should be a blowout.
Pittsburgh at Kansas City feels like a fairly obvious pick. Do you mind Ben Roethlisberger saying – we've got no chance. Let's just go play. I didn't mind at all. He was kind of trolling, right? Like
You know, that's the classic build your opponents up so you can kind of go in and knock them down. But I mean, it's Ben Roethlisberger. This is last dance anyway. What are they gonna do? Find him? So I mean, you might as well kind of take the pressure off of everybody because look, that's what I'm gonna say today. That's probably what you're gonna say, that the Steelers have no chance. And so just throw it out there, oh yeah, we got no chance. And then behind closed doors, that's where it matters. In the locker room, I guarantee you nobody on that team is saying that, and especially their head coaches aren't saying they don't have a chance. So they're gonna give it their all. I just don't think it'll be enough.
Arizona at your Super Bowl favorite heading into the year, the Rams.
Well, look, I actually kind of like the Cardinals midway through the season, but Nuk Hopkins is such a difference maker for them. They only lost six games this year, including the game when he got hurt against the Rams, which is the game they lost. They lost, you know, four out of those six losses without Nuk Hopkins. They didn't win the game since he went out, except for the Dallas game. So without him, and it looks like he won't be back at the earliest until maybe the NFC Championship round, I just don't think they're going to beat the Rams. I have a lot of things to say about the end of regulation last week and the way the Rams just kind of, you know, they were way too lackadaisical. But in the playoffs, at home, with everything on the line, I think they're going to beat the Cardinals. I just don't think the Cardinals can win it without Nuk. I do think it's going to be interesting to see if J.J. Watt can come back, because that's the big news, is he might be playing this week, but I don't think it'll be enough.
Did you watch the college football national championship game? And if so, what'd you think?
I did watch most of it. Once it kind of, you know, right near the end when Georgia really turned it up, I turned it off. I could tell which way it was going. I really, for most of the game, it went the way I thought, except for I did not like the Alabama offensive game plan at all. They're basically, Georgia was telling them every time when they were cutting, when they were sending people. And hard-headed Bill O'Brien kept trying to send the running back out on routes instead of keeping them in to try to block their front. And the quarterback didn't have any time. They didn't try to use the quarterback's athleticism, get them out of the pocket or get them on some quarterback runs to keep Georgia honest. And eventually it backfired on my figure. If, you know, Georgia got some lucky, I wouldn't say lucky, but some deep ball passes off, they always had a shot against Alabama. Their quarterback is not very mobile, but he can throw the ball down the field. And so once they started scoring and once Bill O'Brien didn't adjust, I can kind of feel which way the game is going.
To me, I honestly just thought, and particularly thinking of you as a defensive lineman, the defensive talent on those two teams, it just the size, the speed, it's
how fast both defenses look.
It just
so
seems
fast.
Staggering to me. Like I don't know if it, you know, I don't know if that struck you. Like it's just like, oh my God, that is. I think it was hard to get anything done for either offense. Obviously, once Jameson Williams went down, it became harder for Alabama in addition. But did it not, you're an expert on evaluating these defensive guys. Does it not pop the athleticism on both of those defenses?
Oh, the athleticism and the physicality. Listen, and people, you know, always throw out there, oh, this college team could be an NFL team, which is garbage. But let me say that, looking at those defenses, both of them, that's what my primary focus is anyway when I'm watching football. They did look like just NFL talent on both of those defenses. And one of my things I kept sticking out of my head was Alabama, for some reason, kept trying to, you know, throw the ball wide and short, right? But Georgia was so athletic and so fast and so big, you know, they'll have three guys out there in the blink of an eye. And so it was like, why are you even trying to play? Because he just got too many guys with NFL speed and NFL size and NFL strength, evidently, to try to you know, make those plays successful, because they're also hit, you know, these guys, all of them, they hit you good, you go down. It's not that whole broken tackle thing.
Right.
They were coming for blood. And I just, look, there's going to be a lot of those guys that we see on Sunday, that's for sure.
We asked you about all these matchups. I know that you, at the beginning of the season, you swore off the Dallas Cowboys. You told people to put down that drug and walk away from their starter jackets or whatever they got. My question for you is, are you rooting for anyone in the teams in the playoffs? Is there someone? Is it Tampa because you're down there? Are you rooting for someone?
Nah, you know, I don't really root for a team. Obviously, it's the Bucks, so I played for the Bucks for 6 years and, you know, all that. But I don't really know anybody over there anymore. So I don't really have those kind of ties anymore. It'll be nice because everything's way better down here when they're winning. But I told you before the season started, I really didn't think they would even make it to the Super Bowl again because it's just hard to do. You know, it's hard to go back-to-back. That's why not many teams have done it. And you're talking about an older Tom Brady, you know, and the secondary's kind of been shaky all year. I don't really believe in them like that. It'll be nice if they win for the area, but I'm not pulling for them. I don't really pull for teams. A lot of times what I want to see is matchups. You know, I want to see if Jamar Chase goes off, you know, in his first playoff game as a rookie. You know, he came in talking a lot of smack, said he wanted to be the best ever. And look, he has backed it up all season. And you know, I want to see Aaron Donald and whether he shows up in the playoffs. If Von Miller makes a difference. So it's more of, you know, a player here, a player there. I'm really focused on to see what they're doing. But as far as teams, no, I don't really pull for any team.
Steve, thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me.
That is Steve White, SDW94 on Twitter.